The views expressed in the following program do not necessarily represent those of the staff, management, or owners of WGBB.
The following is brought to you in part by MFC Studios. The views and opinions of the show's hosts and guests do not necessarily reflect those of the owners, management, or staff of WGBB. And now, it came from the radio.
Hello, hello, and welcome once again to It Came From The Radio. This is your host, Mark Torres, speaking. With me on the radio, on the air, and the atmosphere out there, be Hassan Godwin.
Maybe. I might be out here.
Maybe you're just in the phone lines.
I'm everywhere. I'm in the ether.
Yes, you're Lawnmower Man.
Yeah. With bad CGI and everything, yes. That's just me. I am God here, or Godwin.
Yes.
One or the other.
And our very own Charlie Salad, you know, should be gingerly walking in.
Gingerly.
Shortly, hopefully. Senior correspondent. And if anybody's having any trouble listening to us on the air, you can go online to www.am1240wgbb.com. Listen to us on the live audio streaming. Also,
or dead audio streaming.
Or dead audio streaming.
Yeah.
And also on the GBB website, you can see me in the studio along with Brian on the live in studio web camera. That is, if you're listening to us live right now, as opposed to listening to us live in the future.
Oh, boy. Then why do we have to go through this every week? Every week.
Well, because that's a thing. It's a thing we do.
It's a time.
You do the introduction, little shtick. Little time travel humor, and then
you can't call it a shtick, though. It has to be labeled a shtick by other people. Oh. Never mind.
Okay, I call it a shtick.
There you
go. God. Yeah. It has Thank been you, Ryan. Officially... Thank you so much for being on my side about that. All
Excellent.
Right, fine.
Excellent.
Fine.
I appreciate that. See?
Fine.
I have validation. It is beneficial. And then we take it away with the news.
Take it away with the news, Mark.
So we're going to start off with sad news. Once again, we are now inundated with sad news. Actor Russell Johnson, best known as the professor on Gilligan's Island, has died of natural causes this past week. In addition to Gilligan's Island, which ran for 3 years and 98 episodes, Russell Johnson appeared in dozens of films and television shows such as, 77 Sunset Strip, Gunsmoke, Rawhide, Wagon Train, The Lone Ranger, Twilight Zone, Ben Casey, Hawaiian Eye, Death Valley Days, My Two Dads, Dynasty, Newhart, and movies such as MacArthur, The Greatest Story Ever Told, and It Came From Outer Space, just to name a few.
Now, let me ask you a question. It's a semantical question.
Yes.
Is it really sad that he died of natural causes? Isn't that basically the goal of every living human being, just to die of natural causes and not some unnatural cause out there somewhere?
There's actually two answers that I can go for, and I'm debating on which one to go for, so I'm just going to go with a little pilot TV show. Anthony Perkins was doing. It was a horror. He was in charge of a horror hotel. It was on Fox. It aired one episode, and no one picked it up. And he was talking to a female, the straight person, and he said that his wife had died of natural causes. And they said, "Well, what happened?" He says, "Well, she fell on the stairs and broke her neck." Said, "Well, how is that natural causes?" "Well, when you fall on the stairs and break your neck, naturally you die."
Oh. Come on. Seriously.
So everything is natural causes if you think about it.
Well, alright. But I mean, in our cynical society, for someone to have been labeled as have died of natural causes.
Right.
It pretty much means that it's probably one of the most benign kinds of deaths that we know through our science.
Right.
And that's pretty much the goal, you know? We had guys in their dying of cancer in their 80s. You know, you get all the way up to 80-something, and you still get killed by some external disease coming out of nowhere.
Right.
So it's, you know, I mean, if he made it to, how old was he? He was in his 80s, right?
He was 89.
He was 89. So he's almost 90, and he dies of natural causes. I mean, he doesn't get a letter, but...
No letter from the president, right.
He doesn't get a letter from Obama, but it's still kind of an achievement, isn't it?
To not die for 89 years is an achievement, yes.
All right, good. We almost have a compromise on that. All right, good. All right. So that's all I want to know.
Okay. For those of you who may not be aware, the professor's real name on the TV show Gilligan's Island was Roy Hinckley, and they did manage to get off the island in a few made-for-TV movies, as well as the cast made a remake on-screen reunion of all shows ALF in the 1980s.
I always thought his last name was And, because it was the Professor and Mary Ann.
That's...
I didn't really think that. But anyway, go ahead, keep going.
Man. In recent years, he finally came up with the answer as to why the professor was never able to fix the boat on the show. His response was, and I quote, "If you were on an island with Marianne and Ginger, would you fix the boat?"
Oh, wow.
So, there you go.
If either of them were my girlfriend, then heck yeah. Because I'd want to get as far away from that island as possible.
But he still had a chance.
If they both were into Gilligan more than they were into me, I would have built a helicopter.
But he had a chance. He had a chance. There was only three other guys on there, and one of them was married.
Yes. Yeah.
As a professor, his mathematics have proven that he had a good chance.
And he was a smart guy. So
he was.
If any of them hooked up with him, they'd have a better chance at a happier life there on the island.
Correct.
So,
yes.
All right. Fair enough.
So yes, he was 89. Also, in more sad news, where is it? Oh, here it is. Ruth Robinson DuCinci, DuCinci, one of the two surviving Munchkins from The Wizard of Oz, died Thursday of natural causes. Robinson was one of 124 actors who played Munchkins in the movie Wizard of Oz. At only 4 feet tall, she was a guest of honor in this past September at the world premiere screening of Wizard of Oz in IMAX 3D. The film had its premiere there 75 years ago.
We got to do something about this natural causes stuff, man. It's an epidemic.
That's the leading cause of death of natural causes. Of note, she also appeared in the 1981 film Under the Rainbow, starring Chevy Chase and Carrie Fisher.
Oh, I remember that movie. Wow. Okay.
And she was asked about this in an interview, and she said, "Under the Rainbow was nothing like our experience at MGM. They played it all for laughs, and it didn't happen that way at all."
Well, we should hope not. We should hope that there were Nazi infiltrators trying to get in and destroy the script for Under the Rainbow. I mean, The Wizard of Oz. I mean, that was kind of an outrageous movie. I think in a scene in that movie, a guy was in the elevator when someone cut the elevator cable. He was a normal-sized man, and when the elevator landed, came out a midget. So I'm pretty sure that, yeah, she's probably accurate in the fact that none of that really happened.
She was 95.
Wow.
So good 5 work. Years away from getting that letter from
getting that letter. No one's getting that letter. no one's getting away with the letter.
That's going to be, you know, they made it to 100, they got the letter, and then they died. Like
that's what my plan is. That's my goal.
It's become 18, become 21, 25, and then 100. That's...
Yes.
Get the letter. All right.
Yes.
All right. So
I'm glad we're together on that one.
So, let's see. Moving along. I don't have any segue for this one, so moving along.
It's time for everything.
Around this time last year, Director Bryan Singer revealed that his newest X-Men movie, Days of Future Past, would feature almost all of the original cast members from the previous four X-Men movies, such as Storm, Iceman, Kitty Pryde, and Rogue, to name a few. Of course, now it has been announced that all of Anna Paquin's scenes, who played Rogue, has been cut from the theatrical release of Days of Future Past. Executives say, through the editing process, the sequence became extraneous. It is a really good sequence, and it will probably end up on a DVD so people can see it. But like many things in the editing process, it was an embarrassment of riches, and it was just one of the things we had to let go. Unfortunately, it was one and only sequence Anna Paquin was in.
They said that it was an embarrassment of riches.
Embarrassment of riches. So they're saying that they had so much trouble deciding what to cut because it was so good. And so much stuff in this great movie that's going to be the hodgepodge of mess, I predict. It's really... You're taking a movie with a humongous cast, adding time travel. Mm-hmm. Not a good idea. Just not a good idea.
You're giving a Hassan-esque prediction that this is probably going to be a fiasco.
I believe it is. Just on what they're trying to do. I'm like, that's... little much for one movie to do. Little much.
Huh. All right. Well, I'm not a fan of the X-Men movies in general, so I don't have high expectations at all. But, you know, I'm interested. I'm very interested
to see what they
don't have high expectations.
Yeah,
I am
interested. Fair enough. Speaking of movies that are coming out.
Mm-hmm.
Warner Brothers announced Friday that the Superman, Batman, Man of Steel, Seagull, whatever it's going to be, has been bumped 9 months from July 17th, 2015 to May 6th, 2016.
Wonder why.
This sets up an interesting game of moves of chess, as Marvel Disney has already claimed that date for a yet-to-be-announced movie. So, as we all know, Disney and Marvel try to have a cornerstone on the May release. And now DC is like, hey, we're going to have our movie and this is the title of the movie. So now it's either going to be Marvel is going to be like, well, we're still going to release our un-yet-titled movie on this day. Or we're going to pull back and let DC have this one.
Well, Batman and Superman... Okay, here's the thing. Everything's going to be a joke from now on anyway.
Right.
Everything. Age of Ultron, probably going to do well, but it's probably going to be... It's very, very high potential to be a joke. I know I make these... I hate when people do this stuff, like when they do like what I'm doing now. It's like, oh, it's probably going to be terrible, and here are the reasons why. But I'm not saying they're going to be bad because of any preconceived notion of the creators, even though I'm not a big fan of the creator. And or the actors and stuff like that. It's the hype. Everything has been overly hyped. If you just, you don't even have to peruse the internet. All you have to do is be on Facebook for more than an hour, and you'll get hit with a bunch of movie sites that speculate on the name of the Episode 8 movie. You know, Star Trek 8 of Star Wars. Wow, I'm in trouble now.
Very nicely done.
Star Wars.
Nicely done.
No, I didn't do it. I didn't have it. Star Wars 8.
Man.
So the title of it, who's in it, why they fired the writer, whatever, you know. Now they're saying Age of Ultron's going to be a comedy. It's going to be dark comedy. It's going to have a lot of one-liners and quippy stuff in it. And it's all this. And then, you know, the Superman movie. They keep re-releasing the posters for Episode 8, for Episode 7. They keep re-releasing the posters for the Winter Soldier, for Captain America.
Right.
It's oversaturation of expectation out there. It's completely indelible. It's just nobody can wade through it. No one is going to be able to come out of any of those movies and be satisfied with the actual experience, with all this expectation that's going around.
It's
crazy. I've never seen so much speculation on movies that are 3, 4, 5 years away in my life. It's insane. It's absolutely insane. So what I say is everything's going to end up being a joke because no one's going to be able to enjoy any of this stuff anyway. So even for us to sit here and go, well, you know, it's coming out in a couple of years and that's going to cause... I mean, the news you just reported is news.
Right.
They're going to bring it out at the same time as DC's movie is going to try to, you know,
right.
They're going to try to monopolize. That's interesting. you know, okay, what are they going to do about that? What the name of the movie is and who's going to be in it and what the movie is going to be about 4 or 5 years in the future, that's ridiculous. That's crazy. There's no time for, you know, there's just no reason for that.
Yeah,
you know?
It's actually what we're going to be talking about in a roundabout way later on. But executives for this interesting thing, DC exec says, we are happy to take advantage of these coveted summer dates, which are perfect for two of our biggest tentpole releases. We share the fans' excitement to see DC Comics' most popular figures, Superman and Batman, together on the screen for the first time, which will now be arriving in theaters in May 2016. Also of note, Peter Pan has delighted every generation for more than a century, so we are thrilled to bring him back to the screen next summer for today's moviegoers. So they are going
A Peter Pan movie?
They're going to make a Peter Pan movie starring Hugh Jackman as Blackbeard to take up the spot that the Superman Batman movie is going to be, which is July 17th.
Hugh Jackman as Blackbeard, Hook?
Nope. Hugh Jackman as Blackbeard.
It's going to be Peter Pan against Blackbeard.
Yep.
Okay. Sure, why not?
So how about that?
Me too.
speaking of how about that and me too, for a while on our very little show, we've been mentioning the new One Woman TV show called Amazon and how it is the second attempt for WB to cash in on the on the One Woman franchise.
Right.
Well, it turns out that Amazon is once again not getting past the development stage. So, in other words, there is not going to be a Wonder Woman TV show after all. Exactly.
Which we all go, okay, please stop. Please stop trying to make it. Please stop.
The executives say, we did not go forward with it at all. It all depends on the script. We are very careful with Arrow, which is on the CW right now, and we're being very careful with The Flash. These are iconic characters, so we're going to be very careful with Wonder Woman, and you only get one shot before you get bit.
Oh, man.
So basically they're saying we have no faith in our writing staff whatsoever.
I don't think it's a congenial modern day story. I mean, not in the politically correct way.
They made Smallville and that lasted however many years, and they make an Arrow, they could just bring a super strong woman, slap her in a city, give them some wacky characters, and be done with it. If the story,
well, they tried that with Birds of Prey, that didn't work. And I mean, there are more cases where it didn't work than there are cases that it does work. Smallville and Arrow are flukes almost. I mean, even Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is hanging in there, and people are still browbeating it. People are trying to beat it to death.
Well, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. in and of itself is basically a trailer to keep people interested in Marvel. Like, it's Disney, they got all the Disney money behind it, they're just pushing that sucker until the ground. So
until
everybody stops watching it and everybody stops talking about it, that show's gonna stay on the air no matter what. They're gonna retool it, they're gonna do that, it's staying on the air. It's like Saturday Night Live. At one point they were saying how bad it was, like, oh, they're gonna cancel Saturday Night. They're not gonna cancel Saturday Night Live. It's not gonna happen. Ratings might be low, people are gonna complain about it, but it's gonna come back. There's too much money involved for it to die. This is like a bank is too big to fail.
Wow.
This show is too big to fail. It cannot fail. Avengers is the third highest grossing movie of all time. There's no way they're gonna let this fail.
No, I agree with you, but I mean the fact is that's the only thing keeping it alive.
Yes.
Because there's nonstop complaining about it. I mean the vitriol about it has not given way to anything.
Exactly. So I think that if DC wants to make Marvel money, they're gonna have to put DC money into it and learn from their mistakes, make it good. Just get a good story. That's all you really need is a good story. Make the characters interesting. Make the story. You don't even have to go all crazy on the special effects.
All right.
You disagree.
Right. I don't disagree.
Okay.
I 100% agree with you. I just think it's a bad thing.
Okay.
I absolutely think everything you said is the absolute truth. I just think it's horrible.
Okay. That's fair enough.
Yeah, you can live with that, right?
Yeah, I can. And speaking of horrible,
Oh, well done.
As everybody knows, the Oscar nominations came out this past week, but more importantly for those of us listening to our show, Mrs. Fabersham, the Razzies nominations are out. So without further ado, I'm going to list off the nominations for the Razzies. Let's see. I'll go from the bottom to the top. Worst remake, ripoff, or sequel. Nominees are Grown Ups Part 2, Hangover 3, The Lone Ranger, Scary Movie Part 5, and Smurfs Number 2.
Oh. Worst Lone Ranger wasn't that bad.
I know, but it's on there.
The Lone Ranger wasn't that bad. I'm gonna keep singing that clarion. I'm gonna keep praising that movie.
Worst screenplay. After Earth, Grown Ups 2, The Lone Ranger, A Medea Christmas.
Lone Ranger wasn't that bad.
And Movie 43. I've seen
that. You know, I saw half of After Earth, and I guess it was bad because I never saw the other half of After Earth. And I wasn't sitting there thinking, wow, this movie is so bad, I got to turn this off. It's just that when I got distracted, or when I had to go, you know, I don't know, make dinner, or whatever it was I was doing at the time, when I came back to it, I was so disinterested in continuing that I never did. So I guess you could call that bad.
All right.
Call that bad. But The Lone Ranger, I like. Lone Ranger wasn't that bad.
Worst on-screen combo. I like this one. Jaden and Will Smith from After Earth. Tyler Perry and either Larry the Cable Guy or that worn-out wig and dress on Madea's Christmas.
Oh, okay.
Lindsay Lohan and Charlie Sheen on Scary Movie 5. The entire cast of Grown Up 2.
Oh, jeez.
And the entire cast of Movie 43.
Whew. See, Lone Ranger survived that one.
Yes.
Lone Ranger stayed off that list.
Worst director is the 13 people who directed Movie 43. Grown Ups 2, Madea's Christmas, After Earth, and Lone Ranger.
Oh, Lone Ranger wasn't that bad.
Worst supporting actor, you got Chris Brown for Battle of the Year, Larry the Cable Guy for Madea's Christmas, Taylor Lautner for Grown Ups Part 2, Will Smith for After Earth, and Nick Swardson for Haunted House and Grown Ups 2. Worst supporting actress is Lady Gaga for Machete Kills, Selma Hayek in Grown Ups 2, Katherine Heigl for Big Wedding, Kim Kardashian for Tyler Perry's Temptation, and Lindsay Lohan for two movies. Ooh. And of course, now the two big categories, the worst actor and actress, the worst...
Wait, what were Lindsay Lohan's...
It was for Scary Movie 5 and the inappropriate comedy.
Oh, okay. Well, those didn't sound like good bets anyway.
And the sad thing is, I've seen most of these movies, and I can agree. worst actress, which is Naomi Watts for a movie called Diana and Movie 43, Tyler Perry for Madea's Christmas, Lindsay Lohan for The Canyons, Selena Gomez for The Getaway. Ooh, that's my vote. Halle Berry for Movie 43 and The Call. And I like The Call.
Yeah, The Call wasn't bad.
And it'd be interesting if she won that, because she had won one for Catwoman for the worst actress. And worst actor, we got Sylvester Stallone for Bullet to the Head, Escape Plan, and Grudge Match.
Wow.
Jaden Smith for After Earth.
Of course.
Ashton Kutcher for Jobs. Adam Sandler for Grown Ups 2. And Johnny Depp for The Lone Ranger.
Lone Ranger wasn't that bad.
And finally, the worst picture nominations for 2013 are Movie 43. Man, they really hated this movie.
Wow, yeah. I gotta check that out now. They're going to make me watch that movie just to see if it's as bad as they say it is.
A Madea Christmas, After Earth, Grown Ups 2, and, drum roll please, The Lone Ranger.
Lone Ranger wasn't that bad.
So
this movie was not that bad.
They're really pouring on to a couple movies. I wonder if they only seen
After Earth. Look, first of all, if anybody ever gives M. Night Shyamalan a dime to make a movie again, they get exactly what they deserve.
But this was really Will Smith's movie.
Huh?
It was Will Smith's movie. He wrote it. His movie. Starting
at
Will Smith.
It doesn't matter. M. Night Shyamalan didn't need that. He didn't need it. Because he already had Avatar, the Last Airbender,
yeah,
on his belt. And he also had Lady in the Water. He had a bunch of like rotten eggs.
I like Lady in the Water.
Oh, he had a bunch of rotten eggs. Okay, and he did not need After Earth is like one of the most. It's like the modern day Ishtar. It's so pan. Remember Ishtar? I've never in my life seen Ishtar, and I know it was a horrible movie. I knew it was a horrible movie when I was a kid and it first came out because it was the butt of every joke on every sitcom.
What was it, Dustin Hoffman? Seen. And who was the other
Dustin
actor?
Hoffman and I don't know. Dustin Hoffman and somebody, Robert Redford, I think, or something like that. I don't know.
I don't think it was Robert Redford. It was.
You don't think it was Robert Redford?
No, I know it was Dustin Hoffman. That's all I remember. Dustin Hoffman, don't see that movie.
It was. That's even not the reason it was that bad.
It was Dustin Hoffman and don't see that movie. That was the cast. Dustin Hoffman said, nope. Nope.
But you remember Ishtar, though, right? You remember
I remember how people talked about it and how everybody hated it, yes.
It was maligned. It was absolutely maligned. So it was, you know, it's After Earth. After Earth is exactly... That's exactly what's happening to this.
However, the big difference is that Will Smith has gone on publicly and be like, you know, my bad. And he just keeps on going and he's okay, you know?
Because he can survive it. It's Warren Beatty and Dustin Hoffman.
Dang, right? Warren Beatty, thank you.
It's from the desk of Hassan Evan. Right
good job.
It's Justin.
Justin, running hand it.
Well, Will Smith has done Independence Day and I can't count.
He's earned so much points that he's allowed a dud every once in a while.
He's bigger than that because he's earned so much points. He's allowed an absolute flop. I mean, that movie bombed. That's not a dud. A dud is like a movie that comes out in you know, kind of a little lower than expectations, and
right.
people kind of grudgingly admit that it wasn't a hit.
Right.
You know? That's a dud. The After Earth was a flop. it flopped before it even came out. That's the sad thing. People were saying this is horrible before you even saw the film, before the opening day.
And nobody even knew that it was an M. Night Shyamalan movie.
Yeah, and no one blames Will Smith for it. But everyone's blaming Shyamalan. Everyone's saying, well, this is the end of Shyamalan's career. No one said a word about Will Smith. Will Smith is like just covered in Teflon. So, you know.
Oh man, we just talked about directors. I wonder how it would have been if someone else had directed it and still flopped. Like, what would have happened?
I don't know.
Blame this poor schmuck that just decided it's a Will Smith movie starring Will Smith and his son. How bad can it be? It's a great idea.
It could be pretty bad.
Can you?
Well, like look at the people are fickle because and thin-skinned because you got four Pirates of the Caribbean movies. And the fourth one was the highest grossing of all of them. So no one can say, the series had declined significantly from the beginning.
Right.
And Johnny Depp makes one movie that people were... It made a lot of money.
It did. Not as much as they
wanted. It wasn't John Carter, okay?
Yeah.
Everybody forgets about John Carter already. That's why Disney bought Star Wars and Indiana Jones and everything else after John Carter. He was like, well, this is never going to happen again. Watch. But Lone Ranger made a lot of money, and still people have retconned the experience to say that it was a flop, and it was a horrible film, and that Johnny Depp has made a stinker. But he made its nut back, and he's still a viable name, and it goes along with the other four movies that he made that are, you know, absolute, you know, Hollywood blockbusters.
Right.
And yet, you know, people are just relentless about it. They're just going to keep browbeating it until it's a believed thing, until it's a lie that everybody agrees on. But it's not true.
If Johnny Depp wins, he should go there and just show them how awesome he is, as others have done. Halle Berry and Sandra Bullock, to name a few, that they've gone to the Razzies with their, you know, Oscars and be like, oh, I can't believe you guys, you know, nominated me for this, showing off their Oscars like, we got a real deal here. I think that would be awesome if Johnny Depp did that.
Yeah, it would. It would. We'd be in keeping. He'd get his respect back or something.
And if I'm not mistaken, the Razzies will be awarded the day before the Oscars come out. So keep an eye out for
that. Of course. They got to trump They got to do the Trump thing somehow.
Yeah, of course, of course. So we're ready for our break.
Oh, thank goodness.
We'll be right back with King Fun Radio.
Hi, this is Amory. You've heard my voice open and close the show. Now we want to hear your voice. If you have a business or product, you can record a commercial here. We offer 30 and 60 second spots. For more information, contact Mark at mfc_studios@hotmail.com. And now, here's some music. Wow, that was hot. Now, back to our show.
And we're back with the King from the other host, Mark Torres, speaking along with Hassan Godwin on the phone. I actually liked the extra delay. It made her appreciate the music more.
Yeah, like she had to reflect on it a little bit.
That was hot.
That was Vixens of Virtue, right?
No. That was composed from a friend of the show, Brian Ferreira from Terminal Press. He actually helped us relaunch the show. It came from radio like 3 years ago now.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that was Brian's music. He composed.
I did not know that. I thought that was from. I thought it was from something else. Okay, yeah. Fair enough.
So
that's awesome.
That's TerminalPress.com. Free plug right there.
Yep.
So
they just had a baby.
Yeah. Oh.
Brian and Jessica.
Like 6 months.
Friends of the show.
6 months ago.
Well,
I just had my date the other day. Like, no, it's been a while.
It's not a year old.
it's not a year old.
Huh?
It's not a year old. Wow.
No, it's not. The baby's not a year old. It was not a year old event. So it just happened.
Okay. Yes. And the
darn
baby's
it.
And the baby's name, just to throw it out there, his first name is Logan. So there you go.
Yeah. Hopefully he won't run. That was a terrible movie.
I was going for the Wolverine.
Huh? Oh, well, yeah, you can do that.
Too. Okay, all
right. First, before the Wolverine, there was Logan 5.
Yes,
okay?
Yes. And then the other four.
Let's just keep that straight.
All right. So this week, we're going to be talking about trailers, previews, and advertising.
Oh, good to know.
It's actually something that we had hinted on a couple weeks ago, and I wanted to make sure we dedicated some time to this. For those of you who don't know, the trailers was advertisements for the upcoming movies that were put at the end of the movie, which have been called trailers because they trailed the movie. And then somebody decided to put them in front. And then as time goes on, it turned into commercials and other marketing materials so people can go see the movie. And one of the things that are in trailers are stuff that's not even in the movie, which is because nowadays they make the trailer before the movie's even finished, so they don't even know what's going to be in the movie, and they just slap whatever they can and make a trailer.
Right.
So my question is...
Like, I need to speak to Caesar. Teaser trailer. It was...
Yes.
Atrocious.
Yes. So my question is, why do we still need trailers in today's day and age where marketing is such an enormous juggernaut that we're talking about movies that are coming out 2, 3, 4 years ahead of time? We don't need to see a trailer. We know the movie's coming out.
Are you kidding?
No.
Advertisement. You're
no,
talking
but
about
I'm saying
why do we need...
The trailer in and of itself. Why do we need to see a trailer? I mean, trailers has gotten so out of control that, if I remember correctly, Meet Joe Black made so much money because attached to that movie was the trailer for The Phantom Menace. So people went to see the movie just for the trailer.
Yeah, and a lot of them got up and left.
And yes, exactly. Started. And they were like, wow, this movie's making so much money. This is the greatest movie of all time. No, it had the trailer on it.
And then the movie came out and everyone hated it. So,
they didn't even see the movie.
Trailers are no good bet, huh?
They didn't even see I'm saying they didn't even see the movie of
no,
Joe
saying
Black.
Then Phantom Menace actually came out and everyone hated it. So that's, you know, trailers are no good bet. There's no sure bet of anything.
I mean,
one of the greatest trailers I've ever seen, and I've said this 100 times, is a trailer for Pearl Harbor, Michael Bay's Pearl Harbor. One of the greatest trailers I've ever seen. It's absolutely gorgeous.
With the giant bomb going down?
No. It's all it is, it's all scenes from the movie. All it is all the Japanese armada, or the planes, slowly, majestically flying into infinity. So it doesn't even show them arrive at the Seventh Fleet and start bombing it. It just shows them flying. Shows people looking at the planes going by. It shows, you know, and then after the last moment of the trailer, there's hundreds of planes going off into the sunset, into the sunlight. I don't know if it's sunset or not. I think it's into the horizon. And then they play Mr. Roosevelt's iconic speech from the Pearl Harbor speech a couple of days later, and that's the whole trailer. And then there's a flash of Ben Affleck, and there's a flash of Josh Hartnett, and people running and people shooting, but really nothing that you can see coherently. It's a fantastic, gorgeous trailer. It's a terrible movie. I mean, the movie is not a terrible movie. It's a terrible perpetration. It's the reason for the movie and the forced tone of the movie is not really that good. There's some really nice sequences in it, and the actors in the film do their best with the material that they have.
Right.
But it's really just not it's not a good movie. It wasn't a great experience at all. But that trailer was fantastic. But I think what you're talking about is advertisement. You're never going to get rid of advertising.
Well, not advertising. I'm just saying that the trailer, like, people already know movies are coming out, and trailers are misleading, as you just mentioned, at best.
Right, but I mean,
why still have trailers? Why not go about
it
a different way?
But no one's going to go to a movie that you haven't seen anything about. You have to see sequences and clips from the film because that's what gets people to decide to go see the film.
You still think that in today's day and age people rely on trailers to go see movies?
Yes.
I really don't.
I think trailers is a staple. They have announcements about when the trailer is going to come out now. They have teasers before the trailer. So now they have trailers for trailer. And they have people reviewing trailers.
That's why I think we've gone too far. I think we don't even need that. Seeing as how people are just talking about, oh, this movie's coming out. There's so many behind-the-scenes footage. There's so many behind-the-scenes stuff out there. There's so many TV shows dedicated to this type of thing that a trailer is kind of just... It seems like it's a bit too much. I don't think it's even necessary. There's a lot of times I would go see a movie that I don't know much about, and there's certain times I go see a movie that I want to know everything about. But either way, the trailer really doesn't affect me as much as it used to.
It's probably too much, but it's not going to go anywhere. I don't think the trailer. I like trailers. I like the idea of trailers. I like trailers when trailers come out. I like when trailers come out to movies that look really interesting that I never heard anything about. Like, one of my favorite experiences with that is the No Country for Old Men, where, you know, it was just a... I think I was on Apple.com or something like that, and it's, you know, logo said No Country for Old Men. Look at the heck of that. So I clicked on it, and then, you know, one of the greatest movie experiences I've ever had was going to see that movie in the theater. The precursor to that, or the prelude to that, was me seeing that trailer and deciding, oh my god, I want to see this movie. This looks fantastic. Same with oh my god, one of the greatest trailer experiences was the trailer for 300, the Zack Snyder movie, based off of Frank Miller's comic book. That's a fantastic trailer. Very cinematic, very, you know, heavy rock music, lots of action scenes and stuff like that. And you watch the trailer, I watched that trailer so many times that I was like, there's no way this movie is any good, because I love this trailer. I can't get enough of this stupid trailer. So there's no way this movie's going to live up to the trailer. And actually, the movie did pretty good. It you know, it wasn't as majestic as the trailer was, but it was definitely a worthwhile experience.
But aren't we at a point where it's like false advertising, though?
But you know, whenever that happens, it gets called on it. I mean, the 300 trailer wasn't false advertising. Neither was the Pearl Harbor. It was about Pearl Harbor. It wasn't about the Japanese Armada that sank.
That's true.
You know? Let's see what else. The trailer for No Country for Old Men wasn't really false advertising. There are some trailers I've seen that I can't. They're not off the top of my head that have completely misrepresented the film.
I can go. You know, this being, you know, living in New York, you can go Subway. I work in a movie theater, so I just walk by and I see a poster for a movie, and I'm like, all right, I'm going to see it. I'm not going to see that. I saw the poster for the sequel to Sin City. I'm like, oh, I'm going to see it. So I don't need to see a trailer. I don't need to see any of that. I just know I'm going to see this movie. So trailer, no trailer.
Yeah, but Mark, what's wrong with that logic? Seriously. No offense to you, but what is wrong with your assessment of it right now, right this minute?
What is my assessment of the movie?
Yeah, what is wrong with your assessment of that scenario of like, oh, I see that. I made my decision already about whether I'm going to see this movie or not.
But isn't that what people want? Isn't that what the executive want, to go see this movie to make their money?
No. The problem is, not everybody works in the movie theater.
Well, I'm saying, the way things are now, there's so much out there, you will be slapped in the face with something of Sin City. I can guarantee you between now and when Sin City comes out, you will see something in regards to Sin City, and not necessarily a trailer. You see a poster, you see a documentary, you see some behind the scenes on, you know, all those Alexa shows, you see some news feed. Something is going to let you know that this movie's coming out, and when is it going to come out, without seeing the trailer.
Are you arguing against trailers? Are you saying, like, we don't need trailers?
I'm arguing against trailers in theory.
See, the thing is, that's the strange thing about it. The phenomenon that you're talking about is oversaturation of advertising, right? Or oversaturation of exposure to whatever medium or whatever film,
right?
Whatever. Okay, but that's what's odd about it, is that you want to step in and you want to pluck the one mainstay of the cinematic culture that has been with cinema since cinema was invented. And you want to get rid of that and keep all this white noise that is surrounding it. And then you want to, instead of this direct line that you have to whatever that movie might or might not be, this direct impression, this direct line to an impression that you can get, a first impression.
Right.
That's dedicated to that one purpose of, here is what the movie, here is some clips from the film that we want you to see.
Right.
And here is what we want you to feel about it.
Right.
You would rather get rid of that than all this other nonsense that's circling the drain of the film instead of itself.
Only because this just happened the other day. I was watching a trailer for Anchorman 2. And I saw Anchorman 2 before I saw the trailer for Anchorman 2. It was on a commercial. I saw the commercial. And then, like, 90% of that trailer was not in the movie. it bothers me to no end that they're advertising. It bothers me that there's false advertising. It's really eating up at me that the trailer, the mainstay, quote unquote mainstay, has music, has parts of movies that not in the movie. And
right.
And a general complaint about trailers. Oh, they always show the best parts of the movie, which is sometimes they do too.
That means the trailers need to be overhauled or regulated better. But that doesn't mean that we need to get rid of them.
Well,
I mean, 90% of all the speculation that you hear about a movie that's where you propose we might be able to get we might use as other sources to get information about said movies from have been false advertising as well, or have been false reports or all speculation that have no bearing on the reality of the film whatsoever. I mean, if you're talking about honesty, the honesty of the trailer versus the honesty of the media that is surrounding whatever film, the trailer is your best bet for any kind of honesty whatsoever. Because as we've just said in the opening during the news segment, there's so much false advertising out there in general of these little canoodlers and these bloggers who want just to get as many hits on their website as possible, so they just go out and speculate nonstop, you know, of they're speculating on the ridiculousness of the title of the film, or the poster of a film, or the premise of a film that's three, four, or five years out.
Right.
I mean, like I said, it's so much white noise that you can't really sift through it. At least the trailer is tangible evidence that the film is made, the film is happening, and it's your best bet at getting any impression of what the film is about. It's the only truth you're going to get other than sitting your butt in the seat and actually watching the film in the theater, in which today you could get shot for doing that.
So that's
a different story.
It's a lesser of two evils, a lesser of 100 evils. Then.
It's the lesser of the 1,000 evils that are out there. I do agree with you that it's ridiculous that they have, not only do they have scenes that aren't in the trailer. I've literally gone to see movies for scenes I've seen in trailers that are not in the movie. I've been a victim of that, so I know exactly what you're talking about. I can think of one specific that still burns in my brain. But there's also the trend of music in the trailer.
Yes.
It's music from other films.
Yes. That follows me to no end. They always throw a Tim Burton song in there. I'm like, that's the
biggest
song.
I mean,
that's the best song.
That's what's shocking is that it's the lesser of two evils. Like it's the path of least resistance
right.
for you is to take away the trailer, because you know that the fighting the battle of getting rid of all these other satellite, you know, these pilot fish, these hangers on, is astronomical. It's like launching a crusade
trying
to get rid of that. So your proposal is just get rid of the trailer. We don't need it. And that's the most truth that you have. And your proposal is just that's what's wrong with the world today. This is no good. Get rid of this. Get rid of this time-honored tradition that's been around since the inception of theater. And let's just keep these bloggers happy, because we'll get as much information as we need from these idiots who have been proven wrong time and time again. Time and time again, the Heath Ledger thing is most prevalent of how that is going to be a disaster and ruin Batman forever, right?
Yes.
Right now, who is the god? Who is the one and only god of playing the Joker now? These people have never been right about anything that they said.
You know, I'm thinking about and I saw Universal Soldier. I saw it on a video or, you know, whatever. It wasn't in the theaters, and I saw it. And we were watching a movie, and there's one point where you think Van Damme you think Dolph Lundgren is dead or something.
Right.
And I'm with my sister, and she's like, wow, that was...
I know what you're going to say.
That was a great movie. And I'm like, well, the movie's not over yet. And she's like, well, what do you mean? I said, well, there's one part in the trailer where he does his signature kick, and he didn't do that yet, so the movie can't be over. And then he gets up and does a signature kick, and I'm like, oh, there you go,
yeah,
see?
Now the movie's over,
because it showed the part that was in the trailer that was in the movie.
That's a problem.
I can't even go to a movie like, well, you know, this didn't happen yet, so we're not done yet, because not even be in the movie.
I've had that happen a dozen times. I've also, like, there's also the problem where the biggest scene of the film is in the trailer.
Yes.
So the money shot of the film, like the Men in Black, it comes to mind immediately, where the scene where Tommy Lee Jones and Will Smith, again Will Smith,
right,
shoot down Vincent D'Onofrio's spaceship, and it crashes right in front of them, and that's the biggest scene in the film. That's the climactic scene of the film and the scene in the trailer.
Right.
So you're like, oh man, they used a big money shot, but you don't know that until you see the film.
Right.
You get tricked. Also, in defense of your position of this argument,
okay,
I would say that one of the worst perpetrations of all time, the last time I walked into a theater, I was so young and naive, the last time I walked into a theater bright-eyed and imbued with enthusiasm for the godlike experience I was just about to have.
Right.
Simply because of the trailer, was RoboCop 2.
My God.
My God, you can imagine why I'm a cynical jerk now after that experience. RoboCop 2 was a nightmare. It didn't have the RoboCop music.
No.
It didn't have any of it. And the trailer just plain lied to me. And the one thing that I went to see it for, I remember my friend Raheem, friend of the show, he's been on the show many times.
Yeah.
He said, "Yeah, like, RoboCop is not this plodding stumpy robot anymore, man. He's moving around, he's doing monkey flips, he's fighting people." And then they show in the trailer when he jumps on the back of RoboCop 2.
Yeah.
Right. And you're like, "Wow, all right, yeah, he's all agile, he's like a ninja in this. This movie's going to be fantastic. This movie is one of the greatest movies I've ever seen." I literally said that. This movie is going to be one of the greatest movies I've ever seen. Literally, I've never said that again in my entire life. I literally said that out loud to friends. Okay? Went to the movie. Not only was it the same plotting, stop motion, terrible pacing, terrible story, terrible sequences, terrible acting, terrible music, but the one shot I went there to see happened to be the only shot in the major sequence. I thought it was just a random sequence of him just running around and doing good for the community. It turned out to be the one and only thing he does in the entire film. where he jumps on this thing's back. And that was a big pivotal moment. I thought it was just just an innocuous random capture
of the
camera.
Part of the fight.
Yeah, no, it was the major climax of the film. It was horrible, and they didn't even get what's your name from
Nancy Allen.
Yeah, they waited till the next movie to get her. What's her name? Lisa Gibbons or whatever her name was from Entertainment Tonight. They didn't even get her. She was the only reporter to survive being slaughtered. Not that I wanted to see her get killed, but it was like, at the end, she's like the only one left. It's like, let's talk to the old man about this disaster that will bring down this company.
The biggest thing I remember about RoboCop 2 is when the black guy goes, "That thing's a killer."
Exactly.
That's all I remember. Then I have RoboCop 2. "That thing's a killer." And then he said it in the movie, like, "Yep, all right, there you go.
Yep, it's a killer." Yep, he was right.
And wasn't that after he killed everybody, he yells out, "That thing's a killer."
Yeah, exactly. That thing just starts nuking people. And like, yeah, I guess you're right. Well, think about the film. It's a movie about a robot, cop made from the dead body of a drug dealer that runs on drugs.
How could that go wrong?
The robot runs on drugs.
How could that go wrong? Where can we go wrong with that?
How could this possibly be a bad idea for us? This is perfect.
That's the meeting. Next, we're going to make a movie with Will Smith starring his son.
Yeah.
Written by Will Smith. This is such a great idea. Let's keep on going.
Then we're going to have Captain Jack Sparrow as Tonto. We are gods.
But
we are
gonna,
gods in movie
But they're going to get it blessed by the Native Americans, so it's going to be good.
Yeah.
So we got 3 minutes left. So Hassan, final thought?
My final thought is I think we need trailers. There's some terrible perpetrations that trailers do, but that's no reason to eliminate the entire medium.
All right, fair enough. I think that people should be more careful in where they get the information from and take everything with a grain of salt.
All right. Can't argue with that.
There we go. So that about does it for this week on It Came From the Radio. Join us right here and every week on WGBV. If you've missed any portion of this show, you
too
can
bad.
Go to our website, www.itcamefromtheradio.com, and listen to the archives, which will be up in a couple days or so. Also, as I keep on forgetting to mention, you can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter. That's
Do it.
Yeah, because I'm surprised. I forget that we have those things, Facebook and Twitter.
We
social
have
media.
Other tools of communication. Yes, we do. Those are our trailers.
Yes. Yes. So we will see you next week.
Take it easy.
You have been listening to It Came From the Radio with Mark Torres. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests did not necessarily reflect the views of WGBB, the owners, or staff. And now we return you to your earthly scheduled broadcast.
Not necessarily represent those of the staff, management, or owners of WGBB.